I'm working.
Lord, thank you for your graciousness towards us. That you see us, you see us deeply. And you pour out your love and your grace. Thank you, Lord, that we're not alone in this world. That you're always with us. Amen. Please be seated. And Sue's going to bring us our readings this morning.
Ata Maria Tato Morena. The first reading is from Deuteronomy, chapter 30, beginning at verse 15. The framework of the book of Deuteronomy is a series of addresses given by Moses to the people of Israel. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14, beginning at verse 25. Jesus speaks about the cost of being a disciple. Large crowds were travelling with Jesus, and turning to them he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Suppose one of you builds a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able, with 10,000 men, to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. This is the Gospel of Christ. Te rongapai tene a te karaiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whako moi miti tia ia.
Andrew. Well read. And this morning I'd like to introduce to you Keith Henson, who for most won't take much need to introduce. He's our People's Warden. Got that right? We've changed roles. People's Warden. And so he's involved with Vestry and has been a member of this parish for many, many years. Too many to count, probably. Only 17. Okay, he's a young boy. So, Keith, welcome to St. Luke's congregation, and we look forward to what you've got to share with us.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, a funny thing happened to me the other day when my wife and I were walking down in the village. And I was going to say we ran into Reverend Ben, but we didn't. At our age, we don't run much anymore. So we chanced by the Reverend Ben, and we were having a good conversation with him. And during that conversation, he said to me, "Now, look, I've double booked myself this week. I'm looking for someone to come and preach for me." And I heard this voice, this little voice say, "I'll do that for you, Ben." And I thought that Ben was going to be preaching up at St. Andrews, so I was pretty safe. But no, Ben was down to preach to St. Luke's. And, well, here I am. Here I am. And we'll see how we get on. And surprise, surprise, then I read the gospel lesson. And I thought, oh, Lord, you've given me a challenge here. But the first things first, I think if you've ever been to school and the teacher's out the front and the teacher asks a question, and generally there's some responses. Some will sit there and go, "Don't ask me. Don't look at her, and she won't ask me." And some will go, "I think I know the answer. I'm not sure. I think I know the answer." And there will be others who go, "Hey, ask me, ask me." And that sort of thing happens. Preachers often do that too. They ask questions, and you can see what's going on. Congregation, some saying, "Maybe doesn't ask me." And others will say, "I've got the answer." Invariably, it may be the wrong one. Quite often, preachers will ask a question, but it's a rhetorical question. They don't expect the answer. They'll give you the answer. It's just a way of carrying on. But in this case here, we have a situation where God is preaching. And to the crowd, he's had a crowd following him. It's a large crowd. And we know that Christ is used to teaching and speaking to large crowds, because he fed not 5,000 of them one time, but a few fish and some bread. So, who's in the crowd? The crowd are mostly curious people. They've seen him perform miracles. They've seen him cast out demons. They've listened to him preaching. So he's building up a following, a crowd. And amongst the crowd are also, we have his disciples are there. And so here we have the opening lines. That Jesus, a large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and he said to them, these fateful words, "If you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison." Oh, well, that's pretty daunting. But when we dig further into what was going on here, we see that hate, as we know it today, which is the direct opposite of love, in Jesus' time and before, hate was the expression. I understand. I'm not a scholar of languages, new or old. But apparently, what they normally said was, "You love someone less than," rather than hate them. If you love your parents more than me, then you can't be my disciple. If you love your family more than me. And these are the words that Matthew said. Same sentiment that Matthew said, if you love your family, your friends more than me, then you can't be my disciple. And that was a bit of a sigh of relief when I read that part. And so he then goes on to say and talk to them about what it is to be a disciple. And he explains a lot to them. But one of the explanations he has and he gives is the explanation of what it means. And we'll take the example of the Pharisee. Remember one day where the Pharisee came to him and said, what is the greatest commandment? And I think the Pharisee was hoping that Jesus would say something wrong. But Jesus, he came out with it. And what did he say? He said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second commandment is this, love your neighbor. And of course the Pharisee said, well, you got that right. You know, that's what it's all about. We have a God of love. And I was reading in my doing my study and reading, and there was a preacher in the US who had a friend, another preacher friend, who was struggling with this particular verse, these particular verses. And that friend's wife said to him, you know, you love me best when you love God most. You love me best when you love God most. And that's really the nub of it all. Because you see, when we love God the most, we can't help but love others and love our family. So it's not a case of loving the family more than God. It's a case because we love God the most, we have the strength, the capacity to love others more. And certainly that has been my expression and my experience in walking with Jesus. But what Jesus is saying here when he talks about loving God more than our family is he's saying there's no half measures. There's no part-time Christians, no part-time disciples. You can't just come along and say, oh, well, I'll come once a week and be a disciple. No. It doesn't work that way. It's 24/7. We commit ourselves to Christ, to God, and love God that full amount. So what is it then that sets the disciples apart from the followers? And I guess I've already explained that to you. Because the followers are curious. They're curious about what's going on. Who is this man? What's happening? And in church today, we'll have disciples and followers and the curious people. Not necessarily in this church, but throughout the land. But the thing that sets the disciples apart is their commitment to Christ. And if we look at some of the words that Jesus said, remember Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one. No exceptions. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's the wonderful thing through Christ coming down to us his crucifixion, his death, and rising again. We no longer have to offer sacrifices because Christ was the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. And it is through Christ that we are reconciled with God. That's what it means to be a disciple. And you know, Jesus also said, obviously, in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent, his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes, has faith in Christ, and commits their life, accepts Christ into their heart, they become a disciple of Christ. And I could go on with a lot more definitions, I suppose, and scriptures that you all know and love. But let me come back to that statement about loving God more. And I just want to reiterate what I said earlier on. That in loving God, we do have that incredible capacity to love others. And in loving God, we have the capacity for forgiveness. I can't help but think in our Lord's Prayer when we pray, Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And we need to say that with meaning. And the hopeful is that my hope is that when you pray that prayer, that there's no grudge in your heart, that there's no niggle doubt, that saying, well, I'm not too sure about it. Someone's done me some wrong and I'm not sure I can forgive them. But it is through the love of Christ, not through our own strength, that we can forgive people their sins. It is through having Christ in our hearts that we are able to give that forgiveness. And so that's what really sets us apart from the followers, those who are just curious, because we remain committed to Christ, committed to loving God with all our heart and strength. And that's what sets us apart from followers. So when I come back to those children sitting there and answering questions, and I guess that's the question that God is setting to the followers there. He's saying, consider carefully when you commit yourself to me. And he talks about the cost of being a disciple. And that to me is curious, because when you have Christ in your heart, you get all the benefits that Christ brings to us. And the first one of those, of course, is when we believe in Christ, we have what? Eternal life. See, there was that rhetorical question. We have what? Eternal life. But more than that, we also get access and Steve alluded to it this morning in his little piece and something to think about. The fruit of the Spirit. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All those things empower us. So it's not a case of giving up, a cost of giving something up. Think about the benefit of being a disciple of Christ and what's going to become in the future. And so we can face that with great faith and hope. And remember, Paul said, three things last forever. I'm going to ask you the question. I'll tell you. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Now, I could carry on, but I can see people nodding off already. I will leave you with a little thought, and it's a hymn that I like, and it's by Alfred Henry. Now, and I won't sing it to you, but I will read it to you. I serve a risen Saviour. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always there. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives, but I'll tell you. He lives within my heart, in your heart. If you accept him into his life, in your life. Amen.
Thank you, Keith. And yes, because of that great love of God, it demands our 100% commitment, that 24/7 commitment to being a disciple. So thank you for that. I think we're going to sing that very hymn. So let's stand.